All right. Thank you very much. Brah Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, bro. How are you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. Hey, good.
I wanted to get into ask a question. I don't know if it might be foolish to you.
Never. Not coming from you.
Why you always coming from foolish? You know, going off on the bedroom market, basically you see people selling some things at some prices.
Mm-hmm.
You go online, and you can see them things causing that skin to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how difficult it would be for an individual to start bringing some of these things. We got to do.
You mean bringing things to sell them?
These people selling and make some money.
Right, well,
to be honest, if you really check the prices on the net, and then check the prices that people selling you things in Barbados, they want to sell on market. Security cameras, they call the post office already. Security cameras is 5%.
Right, it's called the when Barbadians buy things to sell them, but even in our retail sector, they put on something called the get rich quick tax. So there's multiplied by 3 or 4. You understand? It'll be a little markup. They ain't looking to sell volume. They're looking to get rich by selling 2 or 3 items and they're going clear. They're going to buy 10 out of that money. I see it a lot. I generalizing, yes, but in the main, the concept of what he's saying is the truth. But you can bring it and sell the, when you start to do certain things commercially, yeah, there's some laws and rules you need to think, but they're not stopping you from bringing in items.
But no, see, I want to ask them there who are setting a little business. I look at them, kill nobody, make my money and make a little something, you know what I'm saying?
Look, when you take up on Amazon, bring what you want, bring in and sell it and sell them reasonable. And when you got things good selling, give me a shout too, okay? Don't forget me.
This is a rip off for poor people. Man. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Lee. Hey, good afternoon.
How are you keeping?
I keep it good.
Oh, it's my girl.
Your girl is good. The bigger girl is better. And the son is the best, probably.
Oh, you got 3 now?
Yes. I got a wife and 2, so all them good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I know, I can't really stop crying.
But Bermuda now recorded its 4th murder today. 4th.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 4th.
Yeah, but you can't stop crying.
Man, you can stop crying.
Man, you can stop it.
At parents were to do more of the job. Let's start there. You think that we got more or less crying?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think you can stop it completely, 100%. You know, once you got 2 human beings, I feel you got a little crying, but you can't lower it. You don't think you can lower and prevent it? No, talk to me.
These days, everybody got a gun. And the student anyway, they may pick up the body, I don't know.
So what we should do, put your hand in the air and walk, but we have to be shot.
No, I would like not to get shot.
What should we do then?
No, the body belongs to me.
Right, so what should we do?
You can't have to do something with one person that will stop you shooting.
Hey, was that one thing? I know what you're thinking about, but say.
It was one thing.
You don't hang in them. You don't pop in next.
No, I'm hanging them. Cut off the wrist.
Cut off the wrist. Well, yeah. They definitely can't do nobody in after that.
And they can't hold no more gun on the noise.
But what about the human rights cry that you can hear? And the more blacklisting we can get as a humane.
But the human rights will understand that there's only so much stupidness.
Mm. You got something on the background. Anyhow, good hearing you again, and even the phone call in the backyard. Good to hear you. 40 minutes after 1, when we come back, we take more of your calls on the Monday edition of Down to Brass Stats. Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah, how are you doing, Corey?
I'm okay, and you?
Not too bad.
All
right. Corey, I listen to the program every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I listen to Brass Stats every day, and I do enjoy it. But I think that in Barbados, we got different laws for Persians and different laws for Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you telling a guy just now, no campaigning. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Thompson campaigned for the whole about 20 minutes yesterday. And no one already told her anything.
So are you for real? Are you joking? Are you serious? You serious? Well, you're rude. But there, yesterday was a program, Brass Stats Sunday. So the program was to discuss politics directly. I didn't listen to it, so I don't know if campaign went on or not. But generally speaking, the rule is that once a campaign has been launched, you can't campaign here. And if you listen every day, you will hear Mr. Ellis saying, so ad nauseum, on and on and on. So what happened yesterday is completely different. Alvin and the rest could tell you that it's just definitely not allowed. They could back me up. That warning they could back me up on. Okay? No problem. Manners and respect. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon. Whoa. Long time.
Yeah.
We back because together just, again.
Because I just know get knocked off or he
no, he put down. He put down your phone in my ear. Got me here feeling a little depressed about it, you know?
All right, I got 3 points to make, but before I make them, let me ask you the number that you'd call me at. Is that a number that I can reach you at, or that is your business number?
When is it?
I got a number that got your the thing that you do at the ranch coming up.
Well, yeah, you could call me on that, no problem.
Okay, I can reach you there on that.
Yes, all right. Yes.
Right, because you're a good fella, you know, but, you know.
Okay, only thing I got a right brain. That's the only problem with me, no?
You're talking about something earlier, though, about somebody talking to you about it, about how if somebody, if they know who they're talking about, or they're talking about the BLP candidate now for the by-election in St. George, there would be, a conflict of interest sort of thing, like, you ain't going to want to oppose if you got a doing so if you like use a unit use a trade unionist. I know that has some in the past, that's the argument. But I don't feel that you can want to go against the policies of your party in favor of people. I mean, you're only human, right? Or you got your things, right? And that ain't something that you can do. You can still want your job on at least on both sides. Mm-hmm. Right? So I wonder, Corey, if you fall into that category too.
Right? It seems so to you from your honest assessment.
No, but I mean, it kind of, the scale though kind of balanced now, because there was a time when all the moderators went on the DLP side, you know, went to the government. So I think the BLP having it turned now. Mm-hmm. So that is all, that is just why it's like the scale being balanced, I would say.
I don't see it that way, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Right, to me it's a fact though, right?
Right, to you it's a fact. You entitled to your own facts, I guess.
Right, right.
So they're saying is not true after all. You are entitled to your own facts.
Yeah, but let me give you people the reason why they're hearing this voice here on this radio, right?
Yeah, because they know that's really important, so go ahead.
Yeah, because I consider myself as a conspiracy theorist too, right? So I listen sometimes and I hear the panic of the COVID-19. So I keep off the radio because I don't believe in it, right, Corey? I believe it's all the conspiracy theorists is a planned enemy. So therefore, I come here and try and know that ain't what they want to hear on the radio. God, again, try to censor me or stop me from getting on for that reason, right? You stay there with me?
I always. I can't
right,
go anywhere.
Right, Corey, because I believe that there's the flu season right now, right? Mm-hmm. Every year, the flu season has killed a lot of people, even before they had this pandemic, they call it. So the flu season is in. So it's obvious that cases is going to rise. I know the people ain't got the common sense. So you can hear, it's a rise in there, here and a rise there and everywhere, right? But the truth is, Corey, if you campaign for HIV and all them sort of things. If I am certain a lot of patients right now know what COVID-19 is, right? Mm-hmm. But the reason why they ain't so sick is because they might be healthy, right? Because I could talk from my experience too. Because a lot of things that I talk about is coming from based from my experience. Right? So the thing that I was the next two points I will make is that the same position that the lady is in that going to the by election on the BLP side, I think you can say now that Chris Sinclair finds himself in that same position. Right? Because you're not going to see... I doubt I can see Chris Sinclair now, how he's seeing all the former DLP members on the platform. Mm-hmm. Right?
Have you had a sum up? Have you had a sum up your contribution for the last 5 minutes and 19 seconds so far? What would you say would be the critical point that you've brought to the nation?
Was the critical point I brought for the nation? Were you answering that question, Corey?
No, I just trying because I'm not getting it. So it may be
me. You trying to be talking?
No, I trying to tell you that, man. Why you so negative on me? No, why you think so bad of me? I just wanted you to kind of encapsulate and summarize what you're saying, so that people could walk away with something. That's all they doing. You got such a negative view of me.
I got one more point to say. Cause I know my next thing get back on, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to say is, right, what the man alluded to earlier, I do not expect, if Chris Sinclair got a job with the government, that I don't expect to hear Chris Sinclair go, even if he go on the LP platform to support this candidate for St. George North, he's not going to attack the government like he used to do. And he's a man of my heart. I used to listen to the man. And you know what? He's one, the DLP was one of the DLP powerhouse. So to take the best. But last but not least, this thing about Republic, right?
Right.
All right, you can say that this is one of the main points I can bring to the people now.
Right. Finally.
Because, Corey.
Go ahead.
Because you mentioned it, you all mentioned it this earlier, right? When you're talking about I recognize the voice. It was Maureen Holder, man, that was talking earlier, that making those points. I can remember talking to her, and they mentioned things like the Commonwealth, and you can't do things by yourself. This concept of republic, the Americans, like, they don't even understand what it is. Americans, they say that they don't have a democracy, they have a republic. And that's because they have, like us, indirect democracy. So they're calling indirect democracy a republic. And they will call direct democracy, like what the Greeks had, the direct democracy, where the people themselves is who got the power. So we got the same as the United States. But you still with me?
Yeah, still here.
Right. But what we have is a political theory, right? And I don't really, you know me in theories, like zero and in concept. We have a political theory that says there's a monarch, right? And I just talk to Miss Hola, I think it is. And I say, it put me now down, but I still support 11 plus because schools don't matter. I went to St. Louis Boys School. If I was in power for 10 years, all I would do is put your icing in a kit or whatever Barra already did. Oh, that's what it is. And the boy can say that I ain't do nothing. Right? But look, here comes now. A prime minister now going to come. I wonder if you can't talk with the BLP prime minister. I hear the guy early getting cut. Everything's a prime minister. Right? So
we said after it.
But he did get cut. You didn't hear. Right. I didn't listen. So you weren't here.
But you know what he said. You can't talk about it, but you can't.
But sorry, Dane. I didn't hear. You didn't hear it. Okay. Right. So here she coming now to make a name for herself when there's something that he could do. But as I say, all it is a political theory. If you really want to talk true republic, you should get the Caribbean community come together, like what Sir Grantley Adams, the trying to do. And you see the same thing with blacklisting, right? That was alluding to, we can't do it by ourselves. It should be a true republic is a community of people, like a commonwealth. Or like the same carry come with a president or somebody in the center. Not just going off, but you serving, call yourself a republic. And this is the reason why you're getting blacklisted. And you can't do nothing about it because you ain't got the economic power. And you need to borrow money from the same people that blacklisting you. But I will leave that to you people. You have a nice day.
And thank you too as well. Very, very, very insightful. Brastax, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Corey.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm calling basically due to an ongoing issue which I've been having with Digicel. Now, I'm a monthly paid worker, and like most persons, I live paycheck to paycheck. There's no shame in my game at this point. So therefore, I pay my bills on payday. Now, my issue with Digicel is that my due date is the 27th of every month. So if I'm paid the 25th, I would pay my bill on the 25th. Now, every month, I'm charged a late fee. And Digicel is citing that the funds take 3 to 5 days to hit their account. I'm not privy to who their bankers are. However, I pay everyone else, and some of them even have the same due date, and I've never had any experience with late fees. I used to pay the bill at the post office, and same issue. The result said that the funds, like, take up to 7 days to receive it or something like that, and the post office, sorry, has refuted that. They said that it doesn't take that long. Anyway, if I pay, I can pay through SurePay, I can pay through the kiosk. However, since COVID, I have opted to pay my bill on my bills online, you know, so I wouldn't have to stay in the lines long or, you know, risk my health. Now, at one point, I paid my bill on the 25th, and I still received, 24th, sorry, and I still received a late fee. The default excuse was that 24th was a Friday, and I don't think that that's good enough. They've sent emails, hand-delivered letters of complaint, called to speak to somebody in their Barbados office, and have never received even a response from them. And this has been going on for more than a year. This was a company who they increased their fees without even alerting customers, and I think they need to get their act together. I'm sure their billing teams must be aware of when funds reach their account, who they're from, or when something was paid to them. I mean, I don't know, because I don't know how their banking is done. But what I've done is I've taken to sending proof of payment in a screenshot with the transaction number to their billing email address, and nothing has been done so far. But I'll wait and see. But as much as it pains me to do, I can revert to Flow easily enough, as I've never had billing issues with them. Basically, that's the end of my rant. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for raising. I know a number of other people who are experiencing the same thing. On one side, you may have Digicel maybe cash strapped because of the whole COVID situation. So I know some from time to time, these companies shorten their grace period. And then, but on the other hand, you got to recognize that the customers are also equally or even more cash strapped. And you just need to be a good corporate citizen and work with your customers to suit. It makes sense. You know, sometimes they will find that when they take that heavy-handed approach, people run and pay the bills quicker, and it will become effective to that sense, and they will continue to do it. But like you, who may be well-meaning and decide, well, look, I can only pay when I get the money, you have to go through that hassle. Is really an inconvenience. And is it being the bigger, better network if you're going to do that? Is really the question they can answer for themselves. 130 in Barbados. Brass Stats, you're on the air. Hey, good afternoon. Hello?
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. You hear me?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of static, but we'll try. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. I'll try and minimize it. Any better?
Yes, yes, a little better. Go ahead.
I have an issue with, you know, we talk about crime and governance. And every morning I hear Sergeant Seabrook Johnson on the radio, right? And telling people about the open back vehicles, right? Mm. And that you should not have people seated in those vehicles and so on, and this is rally time. I just passed a convoy of vehicles escorted by a police officer on a motorcycle, and in that convoy had at least two vehicles with four people each sitting in the back of open back vehicles. Enough said.
No,
another issue that
let me touch on that before you go because I get caught in that to some extent because I have a group, and my understanding is you could ascertain a permit to do so. And I may understand, I have ascertained a permit. Now I heard something, and I have the office checking it out, where they understand they're looking towards a full ban on it. And I think, I don't know if the permits then will become null and void, but you can get a permit to carry people in the back. So that's something we will have to get fleshed out a little more.
Does your vehicle carry a roof?
Yes.
Right. Good, because if your vehicle carries a roof, like an open back truck,
mm-hmm.
and it carries a roof, mm-hmm. then you can get a permit for that.
Okay, good.
Where there's just a tray, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's unsafe, so you won't get a permit for that.
Okay.
Right?
All right, as I said, we need to flesh it out, and we can have somebody from the traffic division, the same Seabrook Johnson, Sergeant Seabrook Johnson, or somebody flesh out. But again, the whole idea is the hypocrisy in it. You tell people not to, but yet you're escorting people doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. We got to take a break anyway. 28 minutes before we strike up the band and head on home for this Monday edition. So stay with us. More Down the Brass Stats when we come back. Welcome back. Down the Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, Corey. Good afternoon. First-time caller.
Welcome.
Yeah, but a very long-time listener. I'm going to touch on a few issues very brief. First, let me commend the Brass Talks team for doing such a wonderful job, especially Dennis Johnson, who usually take a lot of licks from callers. But as you know, according to Bible teaching, Christ came to do good for us, and they still crucify him.
And they still crucify him, but it's true.
Yeah, so I learn a lot from Dennis when he's speaking. And one of the things I find about, I'm not going to say Bajans because I'm not Barbadian, but I live in this country for the last 21 years. I'm going to say one of the things I find about people in Barbados is that sometimes they don't really like to hear the truth, and it's unfortunate to say so, but it's true. Let me touch on a few issues where I call. One, I want to deal with the banking system in Barbados when it comes to small entrepreneurs. How difficult it is to get funding, even though you try to do the right thing. It's so difficult. And I see the reason why a lot of people get lost in trying to start up their businesses, because funding is very difficult. Now, they ask you to go and do projections and, you know, have paid $1,000 to an account to do projection. I did all the projection. I bring all the paperwork. I bring all my job letters. And then they find some way along the line to tell you, well, no, we can't give you the funding because X, Y, Z. And I just can't understand it. And it's like, it's frustrating. So I'm thinking now that whenever my business grow, because I'm not going to give up, should I take my money and put it into those same banks? I should dig a hole and bury it. I'm confused.
No, I get you on that. And I want to throw something into your mix, which is this whole idea of these sunshine groups that are going around, and these different groups where you're putting 100 and they say you're getting back 300 and 1,000, the pyramid schemes and different things like that. A lot of people saying they're thinking about there was a whole discussion online where people say, you know what, the banks ain't do right by us, we go into these things. And people warning them against them. And so you all only warning them against us because you're all working with the banks. Know that people got a way to make money, but people warning them. So I want to throw that into your mix because I think it goes neatly in there.
Well, I'm happy you raised that point because I actually understand the pyramid scheme a lot. I mean, a matter of fact, I know about it. And I'm actually a part of it. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are saying it's a fraud.
It's a scam.
It's not a scam.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's actually people who are putting their money and blessing each other, so to speak. But it takes a lot of people to get it done. And people have to be consistent. People have to ensure that.
But a lot of people ask where the money coming from. If you put in 100 and in the end, in the scenario, so you gain $8,000. And it's not like a meeting turn where you say, well, the money coming, it joining up and going to you, but you paying it. Where's the money coming from?
Okay, let me give you a little explanation about it. Now you came into the scheme and you put $100. You bring in two people behind you. Those people 2 days time have to find two people to bring in. And they bring in the other two, which make it four. And in 2 days' time, those four people are bringing eight more people. That's $800. You receive your first $500 in the following Tuesday that you join.
Right.
So you now have to reinvest $500 to the person who was there before you.
Mm-hmm.
So you go home with three.
Mm-hmm.
And then the it continues on every 2 days. Two people bring in two. So you move from eight people now, you move to 16 people. And then the following Thursday, it moved to 32 people. And then the following Tuesday, when it gets Saturday, it moved to 48 people. That then you get $4,000. You reverse back one who was in front of you. So it's people who are putting their money in that actually pay you, who come in behind you.
I understand all of that. But if I bring in, say bring in five people or bring in 40 people, right? And each of them bring $100, right? And let me say bring 40 people, they bring $100. That's $4,000, right? At the end of the day, there are 40 people and still $100 for each of us. So how do we
No. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's not 40 people and $100 each. It's every person bringing 2%. So
right, I understand. Let me use smaller numbers because I had this whole ring around with people before. So say I bring $100. I bring one person, right?
Yeah.
And and those, each of those persons bring two, right?
Right.
That is, let me say five people. One person bring two, one bring two. One, two, three, four, five, or six people, right? So each of them bring $100. That's $600, right? Now, at the end, if you just use myself, those six people, there's still only $100 for each of us. You understand? I mean, this is discounting the fact that this thing is getting real complicated. Discounting the fact that each of them can go and bring more people in. So there's like money moving around, so to speak, than you generating money. And the question that was asked in the article that I saw is, where is the money coming from? And then they understand the money is coming from other people. But there have always been people who have been frowning on these whole pyramid scheme type things. I mean, some people believe in them being legitimate, and some people are very suspicious of them.
Well, for me, a part of it who actually have received money from it is legitimate. And it's legitimate because it's the people who come behind you who are actually paying you. So let me just go over it one more time. I joined Tuesday. I bring in two people by Thursday. By Thursday, those people bring in two people each. That's four people. Those four people came in Saturday.
Right.
By next Tuesday, those four people bring in two people each, which is now eight people. So that Tuesday, those eight people are going to give me $800. Now, I'm going to take $500 out of that eight and reinvest it to the person who was before me.
Right.
They would have already got the $800. So now they are on to their $4,000. So I invest five for me from them. Now, on Thursday, those eight people are going to bring in two people each, which is 16 people. If you understand what I'm saying.
Now, trust me, I understand the whole thing.
Right.
But
so it's the people who come behind you are actually going to pay you. It's not who was there before you. And you, I now have to pay who was there before me. So as people keep coming, people keep getting paid.
But that kind of defunct the question you asked before, whether to dig a hole and bury the money or put it in the bank. No, if according to you this is working, why not put all your money into this?
Well, it's as I said, with everything else, it's having challenges because what can happen now? Now, if one of those person who's supposed to bring in their two people have a challenge at getting two people, that now can cause the whole
pyramid to collapse.
Well, not collapse, but it can slow it down. And when it slow it down, it can set it back, and then people will now start to say, well, okay, man, I supposed to get my money on Tuesday, and I didn't get my money. But you didn't get your money because the people you were supposed to bring in, they're not coming, and these people are who supposed to pay you, the people you bring in. And then you might turn around and want to blame the whole system, which is not the system, which is you and your people who didn't bring in their money so that you can get paid. You understand?
I kind of understand, but we got to move on now. It's something that I think that we can have a discussion on with people who, as like yourself, a lot more knowledgeable. I'm not knowledgeable of it, so I'm not going to pretend. But to each his own. Eh? For me, for other people, so be it. 80 minutes before 2, Brass Stats. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Corey?
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I am okay. And you, sir?
I am pretty good. Told the family, man.
And they can't be good unless they're good, my brother.
Yeah. I heard you and a gentleman talking about policy changes and politics and some things should be changing. So, very interesting conversation. And it's a pity that sometimes these things get stopped or got to stop.
Correct.
But then why call you, boy? Because of you and him, they're calling you. Yesterday, I was on the road and a reasonably well-off gentleman who has a very good business called me and tell me he want to talk to me. And so I went to see the guy. You know, he tell me, when you listen carefully, you know, this kind of talk about crime and okay. You know, he tell me, he said, listen, I have two buildings. One is 1,400 square feet and one is 2,800 square feet. He said, listen, money is not my thing. He said, I want you to find one or two young men that would be prepared. I will let them have the buildings for a year or two without any money. I will put any machinery, whatever they want for them, without they having to pay any interest or anything. I really like to get them set up so that we can start seeing production in the manufacturing sector going again in Barbados. Now, I tell the guy, no problem. I know you can find some people. We ain't talking about, manufacturing any type, right? You know how proud I said yesterday that, now remember, he called me to ask me that. You know the amount of successful people in this country that can mobilize, black people that can mobilize some of the resources that they will not lose a cent and really start doing this kind of work so that we can get more and more of our people going back to skills and technical training and so on, instead of having to give the police all kind of problems which they will never win. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very impressed. And he said, money is not the issue. The issue is something got to be done to bring things back to Barbados to cut out some of this crime. And I was very impressed with the guy. I'm going to do what he asked me to do.
You know what made me impressed? You know what impressed me? Because it can be done. But start calling some people and let me organize it. Start it. Tell the guy, the building there, that is part one. That's step one.
Will you be interested in assisting and things like that?
Yes, yes. Okay, that's what has impressed me. Talking ideas don't impress me anymore. Right. You understand? No, never really did.
This guy is, talking to ideas impressed you that what you took from school.
Right, so let me call the people and let me start it. There's a guy named, I think, Mute or something. He taught me something about that, doing that for like ex-prisoners before. But you know, he's got these meetings and you sip the tea and eat the scones and the triangle things, samosas, and you talk, you feel good, you produce some report. At the end of the day, nada. The only way it can happen is you get off this phone right now and call some people and say, look, next Saturday, let me meet by the building. Let me see what we can get started.
Let me tell you something, Corey. I can't do it this year, but I plan from January every month to rent the steel shed in the Queen's Park.
Mm-hmm.
One day a month. Mm-hmm. And call all kind of people in Barbados. I don't know if the white, black, pink, or blue to discuss the adjustment and the changes in this country to save this country. The Prime Minister in the paper yesterday, I think it was, talking about this can't happen about here, but she's saying that the economic structure got to be adjusted and more small people got to get work and things. All that is great to hear, but I ain't saying that.
It got to be done, yes. But can't hearing these things. It was primary school hearing these things.
But,
I hear the talk, you got to get manufacturers in hotel and the farmers in the hotel, and this got to happen, and it's 40% small contractors, and
listen, Corey, you're a very intelligent man, so listen to what I can tell you now. When the woman that stand up and talk about women's lib, because a lot of people got this feeling that when you start to move things, that can happen right away. You hear you say yes, and the guy called me. So it is talk, Corey, until it get right. That talk about women's lib, she was called all kinds of terrible things. Look at the respect that women has gained now and the freedom from men because of that woman. Talking. You have to keep talking, Corey. You know that.
I ain't saying that you don't have to talk. You know, I'm just saying if you rent the steel shed for a year, you're going to know at the end of the year what is you want to achieve out of that. You understand?
Because
you could sell up. You, boy, we had a good turnout. Boy, go on feeling pumped. Then go on and sleep. But your regular schedule programming.
You can't have that kind of belief. You have to accept they have 100 turnout. And 25 decide to start something.
Even 10. But we can hold out to you, because we'll say here. We're going to move on, because we got to run. But so just make your final point.
All right, Corey. We can talk about that.
All right, cool. I want to talk you off air more about this, so we will talk. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hello?
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Peace be on to you and yours, Mr. Lean.
Same here.
Good. Well, I heard Mr. Nasser ask you about the children, and I know for sure you will.
Good.
Anyhow, blessings to you and the family, the staff, and all the listeners. Your caller before, Mr. Nasser, I want him to know that it is only Bajans that don't like to hear the truth. Everybody, even in the Middle East and all over, people getting tormented because of speaking the truth. So it's only Bajans. But my call is, I think I heard you and a lady was speaking, and she was talking about bills, you know, paying your bills. But this COVID, the certain places had, you know, they were shut, so you can pay the bills for the month. A lot of people isn't working, so it is hard now to, and they're still working, it is hard now to, that month that you missed out to to some people still can't make the commitment. They're paying, but they're not paying because of that month. And people harassing them, and it shouldn't be so, because they said they're going to be lenient with them. Give the people a chance.
They will tell you that they need to keep some people working, so they need to get some payment. And that's why I tell you there are two sides to this whole thing. We need to be considerate on both sides. And that's
people
not the way from anything.
They have some people paying Corey, but some of them like back because of the payment. They still had that money that they had to pay that monthly. They had to take that money because they tell you to store up for the COVID. You cannot go as you like. So people took the money that they had to pay bills with and went and bought a lot more food. Now they are paying, but they are not paying. Suppose you go over a month. Some of them still owe a month because they cannot reach that commitment. So give the people a chance. Yes,
correct.
Yes, people got to get paid, but they still got to give the people a chance because you're still struggling. You ain't working. A lot of people ain't working.
One of the things that I know is being recommended. Being recommended is some assistance in the area of utilities. So hopefully that can materialize. Okay? Thank you. Brastats, good afternoon. Trying to catch up with the calls because you know we had the whole people experience here. Yes, please. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a few comments relating to the CSC results issue.
Go ahead.
Right. So the independent review team would have been commissioned to carry out an investigation. And they released their report. I refer to them as the IRT as they did in the report. They released the report last week and it was made public. And the grading aspect, as you would know, would have been a great source of interest, as there had been, a whole load of concerns across the region. And the IRT addressed this in their report. However, you would remember there would have been a question being raised by teachers, students, parents, others, wondering what would have been the weighting given to the remaining papers in that. You had three papers in the past, paper one, multiple choice, paper two, the long paper or essay, and paper three with the SBA. You've removed one, but the claim is that there's been no change to the weighting. So the registrar had been insisting all along that there has been no change to the weighting, and people generally have been genuinely confused, wondering how could three papers contribute to 100%. You remove one, and there's no change to the weighting, to the relative contribution being made by the remaining papers. The weighting would have to change, and it did. And the IRT report bears it out. I find that in reading the report, it was not exactly explicit about the change percentage-wise, but there's enough information there that you can glean it. And I think it's such a pivotal point and one that so many persons were interested in that it would have been good if it could have been explicitly stated. However, the examples and tables in the report, I don't know if you would have had a chance to look at it, but the examples and the tables in the report presented show that the weighting in terms of the relative contribution of each paper did change. And I'll just give one example. The example given, there are two pages. If anyone gets the report, that you can see it clearly on page 19 and page 39. But the fundamental structure given in the report starting from page 17 is that there were weights assigned to each paper and that there were specified cut points for each grade. And the example given for the weight basically represented a paper 1 at 30%, a paper 2 at 50%, and a paper 3 at 20%. And then on pages 19 and 39, it goes on to show that with the elimination of paper two, it gives the marks, and they would have given the marks as like 60 for paper one, 100 for paper two, and for example, 40 for paper three. Therefore, a mark out of 200, given that 30%, 50%, 20%. If you now take out that paper that was worth 100 marks using their example, you now have the paper one multiple choice being weighted at 60% compared to the SBA at 40%. Now, that raises a question, because all along we can now see, all along we've been hearing that persons may have performed more poorly on the multiple choice, that the SBA, because of the increased moderation, has resulted in marks going down, et cetera. But if the paper one now carries such a heavy weighting, 60% relative to 40%, the weighting of both the residual papers has now doubled from 30% and 20% to 60% and 40%. The relationship is the same. The paper three SBA is still 2/3 of what the multiple choice would have been contributing, but the multiple choice is now not 10% more than that. It's now 20% more than that. Mm-hmm. So it begs the question then, even albeit with, you know, increased moderation of the SBAs pulling down the scores, why then is there such an outcry? Why then is there such a negative movement in the scores when you have a paper one? And, by the way, it is mentioned that students perform better. Two pages mention it, page 12 and page 27, mention that students overall had an improved performance on paper one multiple choice. So when you add that to the increased weight that the multiple choice has taken, you're left with the question, why? Why then are we seeing such a negative movement which is resulting in such a public outcry? And quickly, I would just point to the other element that was mentioned in the structure to do with the grading, the specified cut points. This is part three, specified cut point marks for each grade. And I dare say that particular point, which is kind of skimmed over and is the difficult one to get a handle on, I dare say that might be the crux of the matter and the critical consideration in this whole exercise. And that is, the report actually says the cut points for each grade are determined by the standards set by the Council of CXC or recommended by the Subject Awards Committee after consultation with the Technical Awards Committee. Every effort is made to ensure that these cut points for each subject remain over time. The judgment, and that's the critical word, judgment, because this introduces the element of subjectivity that we are unable to get a handle around. The judgment is used to determine whether the distribution of profile grades of each candidate justifies the award of a particular grade, right? And then they go on to say that given the skewness in the distribution of the scores, the median score, and this is relative to the cut points, was used to determine the cut points for the grades. The grading process was therefore undertaken with reference to the scores of the candidates in the center of the distribution. Information on how the cut points were established in previous years was not readily available, but it was suggested that it is likely that the median was used, hence allowing comparison with previous years, so we don't know. It's suggested. But once you introduce looking at a range of scores and a median, it means that you are looking at the levels of the scores, you are looking at the spread of the scores, and therefore, if you play with that, if you move around that number, as we said, it's subjectively determined, it's judgmentally determined, then you can influence the result. And it goes on to say, the use of this statistical procedure, meaning the cut points for the grading process, could have resulted in some degree of misclassification of profile scores or grades into the overall subject scores or grades, as the degree of correlation of some of the profiles and the simulated overall subject scores was relatively low, and at 0.8 in this case. Everybody might not be able to simulate at one go, but I just want to highlight that in the scheme of things, where you have, and I summarize that, the weighting of the multiple choice paper increasing significantly, doubling in impact, and being significantly more than the SBA, you have to question what contribution did this other element make. And unless you get your hand around that, I don't think we can do it for this year. I don't know. It might even take a specific review to look into that, because that might be so complex.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. I gave you the time to really go through it, because I know this is something that's bothering a lot of people, and it's something that we really got to take another look at. We had a Brass Tacks Sunday on that, and some of these issues were raised, whether the unions or so on, the teachers or so on, were informed in a timely fashion, et cetera, well, all of the issues that would have been raised on that particular Brass Tacks. But I want to take this time to thank the folks over at Biba, of course, my technical operator and producer, John the Lion Stout. Those of you who called the message, WhatsApp, chat, you know, encouraged. It's good to be here, as you know, a weekday. But I'll see you guys on Sunday. I don't know when next I'll be back on the weekday, but it was definitely a pleasure. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane.